Well, good afternoon, everyone. We are Angelo and Carrie with the broadcast Make Straight the Way of the Lord. Be with us for the next half hour. We thank God we could be here this afternoon. We're going to be talking about the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. So stay with us. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. And thank God we could be here this afternoon. We are Make Straight the Way of the Lord. And of course, we get that title from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, which I like to read. It always rejoices my heart. It says, "The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." You know, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet among women, among men. It says in John chapter 1, verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." Amen. So John the Baptist fulfilled that scripture which Isaiah spoke about. You know, I thank God we could be here this afternoon. I thank God we have the Word of God. We believe in the King James Version of the Bible. We believe it's the unadulterated, undefiled, pure Word of God. And, you know, it goes along with all the scriptures that talk about the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is very pure. It says in Psalms 119, it says, "Thy Word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." In Psalm 12, verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Praise the Lord. And that's what we believe. We believe the Word of God is pure. You know, one thing, I was talking to some people this week, and they, seems like a lot of people I speak to, they're taking the Word of God and they're changing it into man's wisdom. And, you know, the Bible warns about these things, because the Bible is not in the wisdom of men. And I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "You know, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And it goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." And one other verse in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Amen. It says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they're vain. Therefore let no man glory in men." Amen. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit of the living God, you don't need any theological seminary degrees. You don't need any kind of degrees from anyone. You know, the Bible says we're a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're sons and daughters of the living God when you're born again. And I just thank God we could read the Word of God, and because the Word of God is in the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit gives life. My wife Carrie's here this afternoon, and she's got some different parables we're going to be reading about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he taught.
That's right, because Jesus spoke in parables to people to teach them lessons. And basically what a parable is, it's just a simple story illustrating a moral or religious lesson. So it's a simple story, you know, to people so they could understand. And we've got this great book. It's very old. It's, I think, from the 50s, called Messiah in Both Testaments.
Amen.
And it's by Fred John Meldow. And it's very good. And he speaks about this, too, because it was pre-written. It was a prophecy of the Messiah that he would open his mouth with parables. He will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. And you know, that's from Psalm 78:2. When Jesus, the great teacher, came, he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes taught by quoting what such and such a rabbi had said, and they're still doing that today, aren't they? But when Jesus taught, he gave God's words, and he spoke with finality, and he spoke with assurance. Remember he used to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto
Amen.
You? Moreover, Christ's characteristic method of teaching was by the use of parables. For without a parable spake he nothing unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophets, saying, I will open my mouth in parables.
You know, Psalm 78:1 does say that. It says, Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. This is Jesus, Yeshua, in the book of Psalms, Tefillim. It also goes on to say, I will utter doc sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And that does coincide with the book Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 13, verse 34, where it says, All these things Jesus spake unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. There it is. The prophet David was saying these things. I will, through the Holy Ghost, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So there we have it, the fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures, and the New Testament fulfills them. The Bible dovetails all through the Bible. It's just one big book. And we call the Bible the Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that Word is Jesus.
You know, and I started counting parables today because we're looking at the parables we wanted to read for you today and go through. They're all pretty self-explanatory. They're very simple. And I counted 49, and I might be short one or two, or you know, but Jesus spoke a lot of parables, and they're all in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first one I want to read is actually in Matthew 13. I'll start with 3. It says, And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And, you know, his disciples came and said to him, he said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and he said to them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And later on, we'll go through this one because they're just so wonderful. He says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, and he explains it to his disciples. He says, When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Angela, we've seen that, haven't we?
Amen. Seen a lot of people receive the seed, and sometimes it takes and sometimes it doesn't. You know, the word of God's pretty simple. These parables, they're easy to understand if you're in the Spirit of God. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. But the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life.
That's right, and as we know, when a lot of people hear the Word of God, what happens? The devil's whispering in their ear, right?
That's right.
And therefore, all of a sudden, it's by the wayside, and they're on their way again. And then he goes to the second part, and he says, But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Amen. You know, you got to make sure you don't get offended. Nothing offends you that steers you away from the Word of God. That's why you have to be rooted and grounded, it says, in the Word of God, which means you have to read, you have to pray, you have to fast, you have to have a strong foundation, a firm foundation.
And going on, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's just, that one right there, you know, a lot of people get caught up into that because the cares of this world choke the word. You know, they hear the word of God, they know it's correct, they know it's right, but yet they want the pleasures of this world, the riches, you know, that all they think about is the worldly possessions. They don't think about, they're just, all of us, no matter if you're young, old, sick, or healthy, we're all just one breath away. The Bible says we all have one breath, and our bodies all go back to the dust, and our spirit goes back to the God who gave it. So, basically, only what you do for the Lord is going to last. All these temptations of Satan, yes, they do choke the word of God, but we have to put on that full armor of God that it talks about in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Make sure we have the full armor of God to fight off the wiles of Satan.
But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground, now we're getting to what you're talking about, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, and that's...
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. I just thank God, you know, yes, that besides all the other portions of this parable, this portion, yes, there are people that receive the word of God, digest it, and it grows up into them. It's amazing. They go out and win souls, and that's what it's all about. It says in the book of Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise.
These parables, you know, a lot he taught about lessons. He would teach lessons, or he would teach about what the kingdom of heaven was, or what happens when at the end of the world. And the one I want to read now is actually, it's in Matthew chapter 13, and it's a very short one, but it's a very, very important one. He speaks here, in, starting in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Amen. You know, that's what happened to me when I first heard the word of God, you know, back in 1972. Yes, this great pearl of great price was handed to me. You know, I knew I had to make a decision right there. And yes, you know, the cares of this world just fade away, as the song says, because you realize, what would you trade your soul for? What would you give in exchange for your soul? You know, there's nothing in this world that can even compete or compare to the riches that are in the kingdom of heaven. I just thank God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ we could become children of the living God.
Amen. And that is a pearl of very great price.
Amen.
Another one right after that, because as you know, in Matthew there's many, many parables. But he speaks again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Amen. You know, that's just about the way it is. You know, everyone in this world, no one is exempt. We came into this world, and one of these days we're all going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just thank God that we could escape an everlasting fire like it talks about. You know, Jesus talked more about a burning hell than anyone in the Bible. I just thank God, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can escape that, and we can inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's such an amazing thing when I think about heaven, because it's no eye has seen it, no ear has heard the amazing things God has prepared for those that love Him, only the ones that love Him and keep His commandments. That is so important, keeping the commandments of the living God.
Amen. And then there's the other end of this parable, you know, which is the hell side. But, you know, like in Proverbs 8:36, it says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. So, you know, God never sends anyone to hell. Actually, you send yourself there yourself. It's a choice that we make ourselves.
Amen. You know, that's right. It is a choice. It says many places in the Bible, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You know, it's everyone's choice. No one, you don't have to go to end up in a burning hell. That's the whole reason Jesus died. That is the only reason he died. And that is what we're saved from. I just thank God. The word of God is clear. You know, it says in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it goes on to say, the natural man, meaning the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And that's why I'm bringing up the point, yes, being born again of the Spirit of the living God is essential to understand the Word of God, because it's written in the Spirit. The Word is Spirit, and it is life.
Amen. And when you're saved also, there's a lot of lessons that Jesus taught, and the one I'm going to talk about now is about forgiveness. It's in Matthew 18, and it starts on verse 21. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, that I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what it was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. And when his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses.
Amen. You know, that's a scary thing. You know, a lot of people don't think about it, but to have hatred in your heart, Jesus compared it to murder. You're a murderer. And, you know, it's Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, he said. He said he came to fulfill it. He said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Jesus came here and died for our sins. He shed his blood for us, forgave us our sins, not to be remembered again.
Amen.
And so why shouldn't we be able to forgive our brothers if we were forgiven such great things?
That's right. The Gospel of John, I always love to read that, chapter 1, verse 1, because we're talking about the Word of God. It just makes it so simple here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's why to us it's such an important thing to have the right Word of God, because there's only one God, there's only one Yeshua, one Messiah, there's only one Jesus. And I just thank God that we have that Word. And it is in English called the King James Version of the Bible.
Amen, because we believe that God has all the power, and he certainly has the power to preserve his Word.
Amen.
And now another parable, and this is in Matthew 20. And this is such an important parable because it has to do with everybody out there. It starts out, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out among the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also unto the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give on to this last, even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen.
Amen. That's right. That's a scary thing, you know. Many are called, but few are chosen.
That's right. And the whole story of that parable is this. You know what? It doesn't matter if you get saved when you're 13. It doesn't matter if you get saved when you're 50. It doesn't matter if you get saved at the age of 70, the 11th hour. You're still saved. You still get the same reward. You still go to heaven. That's a great parable.
Amen. You know, and I just thank God that we do study to show ourselves approved, like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we always do what it says in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things, and we hold fast that which is good. The reason why we do that is because of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we were known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know, it goes on to say, knowing this first, this is very important to understand, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. This is not in the wisdom of man or the theological seminaries of man and the intelligence of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
But I'd like to get through a couple more of Jesus' great parables. Another one is in Matthew 24, when Jesus was talking about the end of the world. And he says, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant should say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
You know, it's sad to say, but a lot of people have said that the Lord delays his coming, meaning, oh, we heard this gospel message so long and so many years. Where is he? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. You know, it says, for this they willingly are ignorant. And I just thank God that we are not ignorant, but we have the word of God, and we hold it dear to our hearts. You know, we weren't always born-again Christians, but it's only through the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us, and we make our calling and election sure.
Amen. And another verse that kind of goes with what you were saying is, also it says in Ecclesiastes, is because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Boy, that is true. You can see that everywhere. A lot of people think they're getting away with everything because sentence against their evil works is not executed speedily. They don't realize everything is chalked up with the living God. God doesn't miss anything, and we're going to give account to God for everything we ever spoken and did, which is it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's why it's behooves you to accept the Lord and accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we'll go with Ecclesiastes here again, because at the end it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
The conclusion of the whole matter.
The whole matter is, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Amen. And I thank God that we make sure we keep the commandments of the living God. Thank God that we have the Word of God. You know, I was reading, want to read one more verse, because we always have way too much information. We love the Word of God. You know, in chapter 23 of the book of Luke, it was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they just took down the Lord from the cross and laid him in a sepulcher. And, you know, it goes on to say, it's chapter 23, and I'll just read it to you, verse 53. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, where never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation day, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, how his body was laid. And they returned, now this is the New Testament, folks, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And that is one of the pieces of the whole duty of man, is to keep the commandments of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I'm going to just mention the last parable that we wanted to read. I'm not going to read it, but that's the prodigal son. And what's the quick story of the prodigal son, Angelo?
Well, in chapter 15 of the book of Luke, obviously it was a son that had all the riches of his father's, and he lived a very good life, but like many people, they drift away in their life. They drift away from the Lord. And that happened to me myself. I was born again in 1972. I was a Christian for many, many years. And through one thing or another, you can't ever accuse anyone, but the church I went to fell apart. And this made me just drift away. I was gone from the Lord. And yes, I feel like I'm a prodigal son, and I thank the Lord he had mercy on my soul. But he brought me back, and yes, it says, for this son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but he is found. And I thank God that promises to whosoever we are, make straight the way of the Lord. God bless everyone. I hope that our message entered your heart from the living God. Praise the Lord.